Iran and Indonesia declare a decision to use the two countries' national currencies in trade exchanges, ditching the U.S. dollar. China and Russia have signed several agreements as the two sides aim for higher levels of cooperation. And the Kremlin spokesman reiterates Russia will achieve all of its goals in Ukraine, either through a special military operation or through other means. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. In our top story, the Iranian president says that Tehran and Jakarta are set to dramatically raise their bilateral trade exchanges.
The goal we have set for the development of economic and trade relations between the two countries is to reach the tune of $20 billion.
Raisi added the two countries have agreed to use their own national currencies in trade. He made the remarks in a joint presser following a meeting with his Indonesian counterpart, Joko Widodo, in Jakarta. Two leaders have announced plans to boost economic cooperation, particularly in the field of energy. Both sides have signed 11 cooperation agreements, including on customs and pharmaceuticals, as well as oil and gas, among other things. Raisi is on an official visit to Indonesia as part of Iran's policy of pivoting to Asia and cementing cooperation with Muslim nations. Professor Mohammad Marandi from the University of Tehran says decline in Western power and a rising Asia has prompted countries like Indonesia to move closer to Iran.
ASEAN is very important, and Indonesia is extremely important in ASEAN, and the whole of Asia is on the rise. Jakarta is a very different city from what it was a decade ago, and with the changing political landscape that we see across the globe, it only makes sense for Iran and Indonesia to rethink their policies, their economic policies, their trade relationship with one another under these new circumstances. The leverage that the Americans and the Europeans have continues to decline, and that makes the Indonesians more open to defy those policies. And of course, since Iran and Russia are completing a north-south transport corridor, like India, which has good relations with Indonesia, and China too, Indonesian government has an added incentive to do business or increase its business relationship with Iran. Specifically, like India, Jakarta can make use of this north-south transport corridor. So it's not just enhancing trade and business with Iran and, of course, political relations, but also it is an opening to Central Asia and Russia.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolutions hailed the country's parliament for enacting a law in 2020 to counter unilateral U.S. sanctions. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the strategic act saved Iran from bewilderment in the nuclear issue. The law defined clear conditions, including the removal of U.S. sanctions, in order to revive the 2015 deal, also known as a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The leader made the remarks during a meeting with Iranian parliamentarians on the 40th anniversary of the liberation of the city of Khorramshahr. Ayatollah Khamenei called the 1982 victory a miraculous event that continues to awe many to this day. The recapture of the city from forces of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein is considered to be a turning point in the war imposed on Iran. Iran has strongly condemned the unilateral sanctions on countries, saying they have negative impacts on food security, especially for women and children.
protecting civilians during conflict is critical since it has a devastating impact on their life. Under international humanitarian law, all parties to a conflict are required to ensure that civilians have access to essential goods and services, including food and medical care. Yet, in the Middle East, our critical region, terrorism, occupation, illegal unilateral acts, and the presence of illegal foreign forces continue to wreak havoc on civilians and their infrastructure.
Iran's deputy ambassador to the UN made the remarks in an address to the Security Council on the security of civilians in armed conflicts. Zahra Ershadi said such coercive measures cause problems for health services and humanitarian organizations as well. She underlined sanctions also restrict access to medical equipment and hamper humanitarian aid efforts. Ershadi noted the removal of unilateral sanctions will facilitate rapid humanitarian response and ensure access to vital relief aid. She said ending armed conflicts through political dialogue is necessary for the effective protection of civilians. Iran takes over the rotating presidency of the Asian Clearing Union during its 51st summit held in the capital, Tehran. The governor of the Central Bank of Pakistan, as the former chairman, handed over the presidency to governor of Iran's Central Bank, Mohammad Reza Farzin. Jamil Ahmad said the union can come up with new ideas for alternative currencies that'll bring more benefits to the countries. Farzin, for his part, expressed hope for more cooperation between ACU members. The vice president of Iran and top banking officials of member states attended the meeting. The Asian Clearing Union, that has 9 members, was established in 1974 with the aim of reducing dependence on global currencies, especially the U.S. dollar. The main objective of the union is to facilitate payments among member countries for eligible transactions. Hundreds of supporters of detained WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, including family members, have staged a rally in the city of Sydney, demanding his release. The rally was scheduled to coincide with the U.S. president's visit to Sydney to attend the Quad Leaders Summit, but Joe Biden's trip was canceled due to a crisis over a debt ceiling at home. Assange's family members thanked his supporters. Assange, an Australian citizen, was arrested in the UK in 2019 after Ecuador revoked his diplomatic asylum at its embassy in London, where he spent 7 years. He is now battling extradition to the US, where he is wanted on criminal charges. Assange's WikiLeaks released some 700,000 classified military documents, which exposed the U.S. government and its wrongdoings in Iraq and Afghanistan. Washington says release of the documents put American lives in danger. And now joining us for more on the story from Brisbane is Annette Brownlee, a chairperson at Independent and Peaceful Australia. Hello, ma'am. Julian Assange, to you, is he a hero or villain, and why?
Thanks very much for getting our views coming from Australia. Julian Assange is definitely a hero to free release of information and to free journalism around the world. You know, he's been incarcerated now for 11 years and the last 4 years in high security prison in Belmarsh prison in London. So, you know, he has suffered greatly for his belief in the right of people around the world to know about the war crimes that were committed in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right, and when the West basically proclaims to like that it's so sacred for the freedom of journalism, the freedom of information, why is his case an exception, ma'am?
Well, I think we all know why it's an exception, because he released information that indicted the United States in war crimes, and they're not prepared to let him off, and they want to set an example to journalists around the world. Now, we're very buoyed by the fact that finally, with a new government, a 12-month-old government in Australia, there seems to be more serious efforts being made by this government for an Australian citizen to be released from the prison, and that requires that the United States drop the charges.
And Ms. Brownlee, is it not peculiar that the war crimes themselves got very little attention and Julian Assange basically received all the attention for releasing the information?
Well, while that's true, I think in a lot of ways, the fact that he has suffered so greatly has allowed that that video that showed the murder of civilians on the ground being released around the world. So in fact, by America's actions, their war crimes have been better understood around the world. Now, I don't think that justifies what Julian has had to experience, but nevertheless, this, I think, has backfired on the U.S. Government.
Do you think Julian Assange is going to spend the rest of his life in prison, ma'am?
He certainly would if the charges by the United States are not dropped. Now, Australia is a strong ally of the United States, and we're encouraging our government to use that close relationship with the United States, even though we accept and understand and oppose the long history of going to war with the United States. We think that the Australian leadership is in a position to really demand that the United States drops the charges against Julian.
Thank you, and stay safe. Pleasure to have you on, Ms. Annette Brownlee, Chairperson at Independent and Peaceful Australia, joining us from Brisbane. And now tens of thousands of Yemenis hit the streets throughout the country denouncing global arrogance. People held placards and chanted slogans against the hegemonic powers while marching through the capital, Sana'a, and other cities. They also call for boycott of Israeli and American goods and pledge to stay committed to the Palestinian cause. And during a speech on Tuesday, leader of Yemen's Ansar resistance movement also hailed rallies against powers trying to take over Muslim nations. Abdul Malik al-Houthi emphasized the need to stand united in the face of plots being hatched by those powers. He also called for resilience and courage to make U.S. and Israeli conspiracies futile. China and Russia have signed several new agreements as part of efforts to cement ties and expand bilateral cooperation. The agreements were signed during a meeting between the Chinese Premier Li Qiang and his visiting Russian counterpart Mikhail Mishustin. Mishustin hailed deepening relations between Moscow and Beijing, saying they are currently at an unprecedented high level. The Chinese official, for his part, expressed his country's readiness to further advance cooperation with Russia. The Russian Prime Minister's two-day visit to Beijing comes as the West remains critical of the two countries' growing ties. Western governments have been pressuring China to take a side in the Ukraine war and refrain from expanding relations with Moscow, but China has repeatedly made it clear it is free to collaborate with whoever it wants. Russia has reiterated that it will achieve its intended goals in Ukraine through its ongoing special military operation or by other available means. Now, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov has been quoted by Russian media as saying Moscow is taking under consideration only the completion of this operation. He said ensuring its interests is the main objective of Russia. Now, Peskov was responding to a question whether Russia will consider the possibility of freezing the conflict. He did not specify what other means Russia would take to achieve its goals. The Kremlin has repeatedly said, though, its actions in Ukraine are aimed at defending the nation's security in the face of NATO's eastward expansion, but Kiev and its Western allies have called Russia's operation an aggression. Doctors at an emergency center in Donetsk say they keep receiving dozens of military personnel and civilians who suffered injuries caused by Ukrainian shelling. Number of patients has significantly increased since more NATO weapons have been used in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Our correspondent Max Chivili reports from Donetsk.
Specialists at the Republican Hospital in Donetsk have warned that the number of civilians who have been hospitalized is dramatically on the rise as Ukrainian armed forces are using more advanced NATO-supplied weapons. Almost 1,000 wounded have been treated since the beginning of 2023, the trauma center in Donetsk has reported. Specialists believe that the latest weapons sent by NATO countries are more advanced and lethal.
Until not long ago, only civilians living near the front line got wounded or killed. Now, following the new medium and long-range weapons provided by NATO to Ukraine, we have a much higher number of civilians being hospitalized. Look behind my back. Our hospital was targeted a few weeks ago.
Ukrainian armed formations have shelled hospitals a number of times over the past months. This hospital in central Donetsk, Voroshilovsky district, was hit by the artillery on April 28. That shelling caused 9 civilian casualties and severe damage to the building. On that occasion, among the dead civilians was also a child. 16 people also suffered injuries from the blast. Kyiv's forces fired high-explosive fragmentation missiles produced in Slovakia and transferred to Ukraine by NATO countries.
We have been denouncing the situation since 2015. We started with the European Court of Human Rights, but for inexplicable reasons our case was dismissed. We tried then with the International Criminal Court, but they have never visited the Donbas, and this case was subsequently dismissed. We are now trying to bring it forward to the UN. Will human rights be finally protected here as well?
In fear of attacks on residential areas, kids have been forced to switch to remote learning throughout the whole school year, which, by the way, ends on Tuesday. Max Civili, Donetsk.
Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Whether man-made or not, food can have fascinating backstories. Products usually take a long journey before they end up on the dining table. Nevertheless, the food industry follows several golden rules that have helped it steadily grow over time. The most important of these is continuous product innovation and improved production processes to reduce costs and wastage. Others involve packaging and product accessibility, but probably the king of all rules is the taste that drives the food industry.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar, the weekly program that analyzes markets, profits, industries, and all sorts of things that connect us nationally and internationally. This week, we will be exploring the food industry and its related agricultural markets. We wanted to see how the food sector has expanded over the years and what companies are doing to increase their profits. So let's check out the Tasty Grub.
To become more familiar with how much work goes into food production, we visited Golha Food Industries. It was established nearly a century ago, and its products are now a household name. It produces hundreds of items in seven categories, such as dried legumes and fruit, spices, and canned products. It also takes great pride in its healthy product line, including gluten-free flour products. This producer has devoted a lot of attention to the packaging of its products. Due to its diverse product list, it purchases such materials as cans, plastic, and cardboard to design the appropriate type of storage systems for distribution. The company has a massive daily output due to its expansive production facilities. Most of the work is done by automated machines, but the fine details are handled by experienced staff. All production processes start when raw material enters the company. These materials are first tested for quality before hitting the production floors, most of which are domestically supplied. After being tested, the material is sent to various closed circuit machines for processing. Then it is time for sorting and more quality control tests before packaging.
Food production is a very sensitive process requiring many checks and controls that guarantee the final product is safe for consumption. And production machines play an essential role as they reduce errors and maintain constant output results. Plus, many of these machines have been domestically engineered, whereas they were previously imported at high prices.
This company has a highly equipped quality control and research and development lab. It's where many new products are created and food safety standards are controlled. Moreover, the staff in this department implement food sciences to make innovative products. It might be interesting to know that this department also has some of the best food tasters. This producer has been awarded Best Research and Development Department in Food Production for many consecutive years. Among its many achievements, it has also been awarded the certificate of favored brand by customers. This wouldn't be possible without adhering to strict national and international food safety and production management standards. Following such standards has helped it maintain its export share in the global food market. With years of experience, this company has grown such that it provides thousands of employment opportunities, both directly and indirectly. It also has thousands of agencies and stores all over the country. Plus, its products can also be purchased online. As part of its future vision, this company is looking to increase its market share both domestically and abroad. It also has long-term plans to increase production and improve the production process for efficiency.
The Iranian food industry has taken giant strides away from its traditional production methods. Industry participants say using food sciences and new technologies has helped the food industry grow faster than before. Never more than now has food been more accessible. In fact, it only requires a touch of a few buttons to receive it at home. Therefore, food packaging is a critical part of the production.
Over the last decade, there has been a great emphasis on developing packaging for the food industry. This is because Iran indigenized many machines needed to process and produce food items such as deli meats, beverages, pickles, and so much more. Proper packaging also increases shelf life, which is important for consumers. Previously, food items such as spices and dairy products were purchased bulk from customers abroad due to a lack of packaging. While exporting items in bulk has benefits, it's not as profitable as selling prepackaged foodstuff. So, in addition to adding value to raw products such as meat, companies have also designed attractive packaging to contain food in more manageable portions. Such a strategy increases not only product quality, but also food safety which helps producers meet international export standards. This trend also helps companies with branding and has created job opportunities for designers.
As you probably already know, the food industry is heavily dependent on production in the agriculture sector. So it's no surprise that the agriculture sector holds the pulse of national food security and food exports. Plus, it is one of the only sectors that has been barely impacted by the US-imposed sanctions and the global coronavirus outbreak. That was horrible.
We looked at some figures from the Ministry of Agriculture to see how this sector is doing. Last year, around 6 million tons of agricultural and foodstuff products were exported. Trade of these products raked in roughly $4 billion. Pistachio, saffron, and confectionery products topped the export charts in value during that period. Other agriculture sectors, such as livestock, poultry, and aquaculture, have also generated millions of dollars in exports. Last year, nearly 450,000 tons of these items were sent to markets in neighboring regions, worth $500 million. Agriculture accounts for 8% of the country's gross domestic product. It might be interesting to know that around half of Iran's total non-oil trade comes from this sector. That's all based on data from Iran's Ministry of Agriculture. According to Iran's Customs Administration, the total non-oil trade value rose nearly 40% last year. Over 120 million tons of non-oil products worth $72 billion were traded with other countries in that period. Meanwhile, the government has implemented measures to encourage the development of agriculture. One trend this sector is witnessing is the application of smart technologies for the cultivation and harvest of various products. There has also been a boom in developing greenhouses and green practices to preserve natural resources. The word plastic was initially used to describe pliable and easily shaped objects. However, it only recently became a name for a category of materials called polymers. Such materials are abundant in nature. Take cellulose, for example. It's the material that makes up the cell walls of plants. However, synthetic polymers are a more recent invention of the last 150 years. These come from the plentiful carbon atoms found in fossil fuels. Since then, they have become an integral part of the industry, technology, and even various sciences.
We will explore Iran's plastic and polymer productions. We will also check out some of its downstream markets and their contributions to the national economy. These days, we use more plastic than ever before. It's terrible. So where does this material come from? And what goes into making this stuff? Let's find out.
Our quest for answers led us to a company specializing in making various polymer products. Parsa Polymer Sharif was established some 20 years ago and is a knowledge-based company that was born in the research department of the University of Sharif. As a leading advanced polymer compound manufacturer, it makes various products essential to everyday living. It produces compounds based on commodity thermoplastic resins like PP, PE, and the famous PET, or PET. It also engineers resins like PVC and so much more. This knowledge-based company is a major supplier of raw materials to many industries. Some include original equipment manufacturers in the automotive market and PVC pipe producers in the construction industry. Over the years, this company has helped Iran save millions on products that would otherwise be imported. This firm has three main functions: research and development, innovation center, and production. It also has a brand new line for researching and producing biodegradable polymers for the packaging industry. Most of the raw materials needed for production are domestically purchased. When this stuff enters the company, it is first tested and graded based on its quality. Then, according to its intended use, the raw material is formulated and sent to machines for production.
Machines used in the polymer industry utilizes some of the most advanced machinery for production. The extruder is one of the most commonly used machines. They play a central role in plastic production. Extruder lines are the largest converters of plastics worldwide. Some of these machines can be domestically manufactured while others are still imported.
Its products are all tested in its well-equipped research and development lab. The various granules and resin compounds undergo over a dozen tests while being analyzed for quality here. Also, new product formulas are created in this highly technical research and development department. Through these facilities, the company is expanding its product portfolio. Products made here are produced along the lines of exports. So, national and international quality standards are implemented during the production processes. This means the quality of products found here doesn't just match international standards, they go beyond the quality of competing foreign brands in the international arena. The headquarters of this company is located in Sharif University Advanced Technologies Incubator. Owing to this, it has strong relations and collaborations with the scientific community. It has also been awarded for its contributions to the scientific and industrial sectors over the past years. This knowledge-based company also exports its products. The company has a unique future vision strongly intertwined with sustainable business development. This is partly due to its forward-thinking and social and environmental responsibility outlook.
Now, polymers are the primary materials that build many other products. Plastic items have different polymer formulations depending on their application. The majority of polymers made in Iran are domestically consumed. Some of its biggest customers are in the construction sector. Also, plastic is extensively used in the medical industry and transportation.
Almost everything around us is either made of plastic or has some plastic component. Moreover, plastic has played a central role in the development of the medical industry over the past 60 years. These materials are used to create hemodialysis machines, disposable needles, IV drips, and testing equipment vital to modern medicine. Plastics have also had a considerable impact on developing high-quality prosthetics. The National Medical Device Directorate estimates that Iran's share in the global medical device market will reach well over $7 billion in the next 3 years. PVC materials are also largely used in Iran's construction industry. For example, Iran's Doors and Windows Manufacturers Association estimates the domestic demand for PVC doors and windows is around 35,000 tons annually. This is partly due to the current residential construction boom in the country. The home appliance industry is also another mammoth customer of the polymer industry. Based on figures from the Ministry of Industry, Mining and Trade, Iran has doubled its production in this sector over the last 3 years. In 2021, around 15 million home appliance units were produced, with exports soaring to roughly $140 million. So, polymer production is key in expanding many manufacturing industries, which have raked in large amounts of foreign revenue for the country.
Well, I believe it is that time of the show where I should take a little break and pass the action over to my good friend and colleague out there on the field. Take it away.
Despite all the advancements in technology and the problems it has solved, food security is one it hasn't. In fact, it is becoming more and more of an issue beyond the countries that have always been grappling with it. One solution is to, well, end inflation and the global economic crisis, but that's hardly a solution. There's no end in sight with that, but another way is to use technology to make things more efficient. We wouldn't be needing more land because we're not getting it thanks to desertification of more and more land. We also wouldn't be needing more water because we're also not getting it, also thanks to desertification. We would actually need less of both, if only we could manage our resources better.
Iran has some potential for farming and agriculture, and that's a massive understatement if you've ever heard one. But we could definitely do with some improvements, some innovations in the field, especially with irrigation, because, well, we've been experiencing some drought and some water shortages a little bit more than what climate change would warrant. And that's why we're here to check out a smart greenhouse that believes has the answer, that the shakeup that the industry needs to be a lot more efficient, especially with water, plus some extra goodies. So stay tuned to this episode of The Bazaar to check out what they've been able to come up with.
About that efficiency, greenhouses can help provide that by creating a controlled environment that, while it could be much smaller than a field, it can yield higher quality produce and more produce per acre. Greenhouses can protect the crops and vegetables from extreme weather conditions, pests, or really any other external threat. The parameters that are controlled in a greenhouse are light, ventilation, humidity, and temperature. This would allow the farmers to create the kind of optimal micro-ecosystem that would eventually lead to them growing healthier, tastier, more nutritious, and, you know, better-looking produce.
What you will find in this smart greenhouse are tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, bell pepper, and cucumbers. There are certain types of fruits and vegetables that are preferred to be used in greenhouses, for example, the ones that I just mentioned. And there are certain types of crops that are not optimal for greenhouse use, for example, wheat and rice. So, but that's just some information about greenhouses in general. What makes this particular greenhouse unique and smart is that all of the parameters that need to be kept in check in a greenhouse are all monitored and manipulated remotely through the cloud and Internet of Things, instead of some worker or some farmers coming in and out of the greenhouse to manipulate things manually. That's the smart aspect of it in a nutshell. But to find out more information about the smartness of this greenhouse, let's hear from some of the experts here.
In this greenhouse, we measure all essential parameters for the plants, like temperature, moisture, CO2, ambient light, the water parameters, and the moisture of the roots, using the available sensors and control them with the actuators and the smart control unit. And also remotely control it via Internet of Things. With properly controlling the climate and the irrigation system, we increase the productivity up to 30% and decrease the water consumption by up to 40% comparing other hydroponic greenhouses in our country. And in the next step, we are trying to recycle the drained water of the irrigation system and pass it through some filters and put it back again into the irrigation system in order to further decrease the water consumption. And also, we are developing a robotic harvester, including a mobile-based manipulator, soft gripper, and vision system equipped with artificial intelligent algorithm in order to detect the ripe crops and pick them in the proper time.
1% of the world's water resources are fresh water, and most of it, in fact, 70% of it, is used in agriculture. What we choose to do with that tiny, finite reserve is a responsibility that we need to bear. Greenhouses can control the irrigation of plants. You may have sophisticated plumbing systems in the ground or in the cocoa peats, as you will see, to prevent overwatering, which can promote rots and fungal diseases, and reduce evaporation, saving huge amounts of water in the process. There is even the option to recycle the runoff water and put it back into the system to further save up on water. The great thing about this particular smart greenhouse is that you don't need to be born into a farmer family that has thousands of acres of land to make this a viable option to you. You can own land as small as 100 square meters and it would still be a financially viable option for you. Especially since after the initial installation phase and the setup process, you won't be needing much manpower to control the environment.
Interest has been shown in this smart greenhouse by certain countries, especially in Africa, such as Kenya, Niger, and Ethiopia. The idea, and of course the working proof of the idea, really has the potential to shake up the industry. And if it catches on, it can only mean good things for the farmers and the food sector in general. Thank you for staying tuned to another episode of Bazaar.
Many thanks for that wonderful report. Now for our final portion of the program, let's check out some news and trends in the food and agriculture industries and some of its related trades. Each year, millions of tons of food go to waste. That's awful. Now a United Nations report shows that Iranians have the lowest food waste per capita in the West Asian region.
The report was put together by the Food Waste Index from the UN's Environment Programme. It shows that regardless of income, every Iranian throws away an average of 70 kilograms of food per year. This is below the global average set at nearly 80 kilograms. Food is mainly wasted in three areas: homes, food services, and retail. Household food waste accounted for the highest at 60% of this total.
The agriculture sector is shifting towards technology to realize a new generation of agriculture in the country. Iranian knowledge-based companies have developed dozens of technological products in this field.
The Vice Presidential Office for Science and Technology says some 120 technologies have already been produced by 30 knowledge-based companies. These items are now being integrated into the industry. The products cover everything from cultivation to harvest and sales of crops and play an essential role in the productivity and sustainability of crops.
Agriculture is one of the fields in which nanotechnology has been able to develop. Over 50 widely used nano products have been launched in this sector this year alone.
The potential of nanotechnology in agriculture is high. Over 7,000 knowledge-based companies in the country are actively manufacturing a wide range of domestically needed products. Roughly 260 companies of this total are active in agriculture, biotechnology, and the food industry.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show today. I've been Samson Sees. Sees you in the next Bazaar.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. We are looking at an important key of life: wearing clothes. We have many hadith regarding clothes, and also these hadith are mentioned in the books of akhlaq, morals and ethics, or sometimes we call them makarumul akhlaq, the best of morals and ethics. You can find all these hadith in terms of clothes and how to wear clothes and what to say, what not to say. We will only mention a few, and inshallah we will let you do the rest yourself, I mean the rest of the search. Imam Marda alayhi salam, our eighth imam, when he used to wear clothes, he used to do certain things. Now, I will read it for you, and inshallah, you try to apply it as well. كَانَ يَلْبَسُ ثِيَابِهِ مِمَّا يَلِي يَمِينَهِ. So the narrator says, when Imam Rida wants to wear his clothes, he starts from the right. فَإِذَا لَبَسَ ثَوْبًا جَدِيدًا. When he wears a new piece of the clothes, دَعَى بِقَدَحٍ مِّن مَّاءٍ. He asks and requests them to bring him a cup of water or a container with water in it. فَقَرَأَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. He would read chapter al-Qadr 10 times. وَقُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ 10 times. وَقُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ 10 times. So he reads this on the water itself. So he brings the water close to his mouth and he reads 10 times Al-Qadr, 10 times Al-Ikhlas, 10 times Al-Kafirun. And then he would take some of that water that he just read this ayat on and he would sprinkle his clothes, his new clothes, with that kind of water. Then the Imam says, من فعل هذا بثوبه قبل أن يلبسه. Whoever does this to his clothes, his new clothes, before he wears them, لم يزل في رغد من عيشه ما بقي منه سلك. He says that person who does this to his clothes before he wears it, he will always be in an ease of life. His life will be easy and will be comfortable as long as this piece of clothes are still remaining and there are threads of them remaining. Now, this is very simple, very straightforward. You bring a cup of water, you read 10 times Al-Qadr, 10 times chapter Al-Ikhlas, 10 times Qul Ya Al-Kafirun. All together, it's not going to take more than 3.5 minutes to 4 minutes reading these. Okay, go 5 minutes. Maximum 5 minutes. But in these 5 minutes, if you do what Imam Rida alayhi salam has told us to do, then we can bring an easy, comfortable life to ourselves just by doing that action. And also that the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam, like I said, there are plenty of other hadith that they speak about in this regard. So you really need to go and look them up and read and see how you and I, when it comes to our clothes, we can take it more seriously, not just, you know, something that I put on and take off and means nothing and then I throw it whenever I'm done with it. No, there's more to clothes and more to the things that we do than meets the eye. Because like I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every act, He has a wisdom. When He told us to wear clothes, obviously there's a reason. So we need to know these things. Let us take a short break, then we will continue.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book مفاتیح الحیات, The Keys of Life.
این مفاتیح باید دو جلد باشه. چندین سال این حرف گفته میشه.
This book, مفاتیح, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است. چه فرم دماز و سواب داره فرم روزوان است.
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرون درخت کاری اینجا کم ثواب داره دعا هم داره ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment.
وقتی میخوای کشاورزی کنی یه قدر گندم بگیر رو به قبله بیست این دعا رو بخون. اینم هم امام گفته دیگه.
When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned.
تو نظام اسلامی این جلد دوم جاش خالی.
We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life. Now, we said that when it comes to wearing clothes, we have to do the du'as and the Quran required to bless these pieces of fabric that they might make our life a lot better and smoother. In terms of colors, when it comes to the colors of the clothes that we wear or even the shoes that we wear, you'll be surprised to know that there are so many hadiths and narrations from the Holy Prophet and the Holy Household in this regard. They tell us which colors are good, which colors are bad, which colors we should wear, which colors we should avoid. Like, there are so many hadiths in this regard. Now, they call it the psychology of color. You can look it up. There are actually books being written about the psychology of color and how colors affect people. And especially in terms of marketing, they heavily rely on the psychology of color to sell their products. Why it, for example, is red? Why is PayPal blue? Why is Facebook blue? These might seem to you as just random colors, but in fact, there's a lot of work done by these companies with these colors. Because each one of them has a certain meaning, and when a person looks at it, he perceives certain feelings from these colors. So the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam, before this study even people think of it, the Ahl Bayt have spoken about it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narrator says, "Kana yakrahu sawad." The Prophet would hate. He hates black clothes, except in three things. So black, he hates it, except in three situations. One, al-khuf, when it comes to his shoe, he doesn't mind the shoe being black. Wal-imama, his turban is black. Wal-kisa, when it comes to something that he covers himself with, black. So it could be the cloak that he used to wear, or the cape, if we can say cape, and the blanket that he used to wear. If they're in black, he does not mind it. But besides that, he does not wear anything with black. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Min as-sunnati al-khuff al-aswad." Amongst the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa is that he wears a black footwear. Because we don't know how they used to have the footwear. Is it like shoes, sandals, slippers? Is it like ours, different? We don't know. But at least for our time, as we wear shoes. So he says he used to wear it black. Black is part of the sunnah. وَنَّعْلُ safra. When it comes to the slippers, obviously there's a difference between al-khuf and slippers. He says slippers, it's yellowish. And he also said, مَنْ لَبَسَ نِعَالًا صَفْرًا لَمْ يُبْلُهَا حَتَّى يَسْتَفِيدَ مَعْلًا. He says, whoever was a yellow sandals or slippers, these sandals, they will not become old and, you know, they start to wear out unless this person will make money. So there is a link between the yellow color when it comes to the shoe and a person making money. You got nothing to lose. Might as well try it. You could possibly make some money by just wearing something yellow. Even though you might be saying, well, yeah, yellow in a shoe or a sandal is very hard to digest. I do understand. But you're missing on the money. We'll leave it here and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children scream.
That was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.